Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Help at All Costs by Ian Beverley. I love being able to give help as well as receive it if needed, because there are definitely some times in life that dictates it. Yes, there's nothing like the feeling of being able to follow a fairly complex route or to do a particular task alone. But I know that if I'm asked for help with something, I'm more than happy to assist and enjoy doing so. As visually impaired people, should we accept help and assistance at all costs? For example, should we regard the invasion of personal space as a step too far, or should we be grateful for any assistance offered? Is it a case where diplomacy wins through, or is assertiveness a means of ensuring that help is given appropriately? I've read some really interesting discussions recently on this point and feel it's an interesting balance that moves with each situation. As a regular commuter, I most certainly welcome any help that is offered. Despite having a guide dog and a very good sense of orientation, there are situations which lend themselves to assistance. It's very rarely offered, and when asked for, it's quite often ignored, but getting through crowds and busy railway stations is not for the faint-hearted. I don't like being grabbed as a rule, and whenever I can get help, this is often the first reaction of the other person. I've managed through the years of gradually calming experience to develop a better sense of diplomacy that can turn such a situation into a better one. For instance, when grabbed, I'll say, if you don't mind, could you help me this way? Say, walk in front of me or let me take your arm? Generally, it does work, but on the odd occasion, they may walk off bemused that they cannot control the situation. I remember the feeling I get when I'm able to help someone, and that does help to balance things when receiving help from someone else. There are worrying extremes, though, where things are taken too far. One, which I read about the other day, was when one person suddenly found a member of the public come up to them, pull up their trousers, and walk off. Now, that is a complete and utter invasion of space and dignity, and although the intention may have been in some way in the right direction, it was still inexcusable. If I don't need help for any reason and am asked, I try to put across that I'm okay this time, but really appreciate being asked and thank them for asking. I think, regardless of being blind or not, that's a fairly good approach because it does try to encourage helpfulness. There were days in the distant past when I'd be more militant when dealing with these situations. I know that the vast majority of people who want to help do so genuinely and with a little encouragement can be steered in the right way to do so. However, it certainly shouldn't be help at all costs, because personal space is important, and just because we need and ask for help, this space should not be invaded. Each situation is different, and like the example highlighted above, the person wouldn't be told or advised otherwise. That could be very well construed as assault. I like receiving help as long as I can direct it. I also like receiving help because it can make a huge difference to getting around, and also I love the feeling you get when I can help someone else. No worries. I most definitely respect other people's personal space. Over to you. Should it be receiving help at all costs? VI Talk blog, 21st of October. We've just come back from a nice relaxing stay at the Clifton Hotel in Tynmouth, Devon. I thought it would be good to write a short blog about this, as the hotel has been through many changes in the last few years and our experiences have varied during this time. The Clifton was formerly owned by guide dogs, initially run by themselves, but latterly it was operated by Action for Blind People and the RNIB. The hotel was set up in 1990 to provide holidays for people with a visual impairment, facilitating excursions to all parts of the southwest of England. In latter years, the hotel was put onto a more commercial footing, and although the emphasis was still placed on being a VI-friendly hotel, it also opened its doors to everyone, and the need to make things pay became more of a consideration. A couple of years ago, the decision was taken to sell the hotel. In itself, this caused a lot of controversy and fear that this facility would be lost to the commercial sector, hence diminishing holiday opportunities for many people. Earlier this year, Starboard Hotels bought the Clifton, and the hotel became part of a larger, more commercially minded organisation. Everything clearly needed to settle down, as the initial vibes that we were getting from the hotel were mixed at best. Clearly, to meet commercial pressures, Starboard needed to make their facilities pay and not just at a break-even level. We were initially told that specific facilities would not be retained and that it would simply become a mainstream hotel. We visited in July for a few days just to test the water. Our fears were partially cleared as the welcome was as friendly as ever, but the magic of the past did seem to be waning. However, during the following months, we'd received some very positive messages in terms of Starboard's intentions and that the Clifton would, like its sister hotel in Windermere, be kept as very VI-friendly destinations. In fact, Starboard are wanting to make all of their hotels VI-friendly, which is indeed fantastic news. As mentioned at the top of this article, we've just come back from a week's stay. It was important to give it extra time and more chance, as the change of ownership of any hotel does need that time. From the moment we stepped through the doors, it was apparent that things felt much more settled. The welcome from the reception staff was wonderful and made you feel at ease straight away. In some commercial hotels, you are made to feel just like a number. In the Clifton, you were made to feel part of the family. I am not taken to wild exaggerations, by the way. Unlike the summer, this time we decided to book half-board and have our evening meals in the hotel. The menu has certainly changed and follows a more uniformed setting. It's still three-course, but there are the same options each day, along with a daily special for starters, mains and desserts, along with a soup of the day. We didn't find this as bad as first feared, with the standard of food to be fairly good, although staying any longer would have presented its challenges. There is room for adaptation, I believe, as the vegetarian options are sadly limited, but I understand that the chef will help and do something different if discussed beforehand. The service was good and very friendly and helpful. Waiting times were generally fine, although on our Saturday evening things did take too long to arrive at the table. Pricing is always going to be the most difficult part of the holiday. Prices have gone up, and this has to be taken into consideration when going to the hotel. What must be remembered is that prices are on a very commercial footing. For those staying at places like Warner's, Premier Inn and the like, are much cheaper. These organisations either have more establishments and or see a greater throughput of people. This drives the prices down, and commercially they can do it. This is a challenge for Starboard, as clearly providing deals is a way of getting more people in. But when they do advertise discounted stays, it is important to take advantage of this. Not only in terms of expense, but in terms of demonstrating that there still is a demand for specific VI provision. Quite a difficult balance. It was good to hear that excursions were being kept for the time being, albeit one of the two each week would be a dog walk. We were thrown a little by this, as the one we'd booked on and had expected to be a visit was indeed a dog walk. No problem in terms of giving my dog a run, which is always good, but it wasn't something that we both couldn't go on. On the whole, the visit was positive. The hotel is still keeping their volunteers, but for how long, we're not sure. This is a crucial side to maintaining specialist provision, because the volunteers have and continue to provide an essential outlet to getting out and about. If you want to be able to access the local area, then please inquire about booking a volunteer prior to arriving at the hotel. My fear is that there is not a facility for recruiting new volunteers, and that in time this provision may decrease. In an ideal world, we should be able to access many, if not all, holiday opportunities, Realistically, this is not possible. Hence why I think hotels such as the Clifton are a vital option for taking a break in the UK. It may not be for everyone, but I would encourage as many people as possible to give it a chance. Empowering Voices, Defining Words by Ian Beverley. Empowerment and self-advocacy are such powerful terms. Having the confidence to define an opinion, state a view, share an experience and voice a feeling are such liberating opportunities. Whether in writing or put across in the spoken word, the openings for doing all of these are increasing every day. This blog, for instance, is an outlet where you can discuss and define the issues that are important to you. Whether you have written before or would like to give blog writing a go for the first time, I gladly open this up to everyone. Social media platforms have increased so greatly over the years that discussion and debate are so widespread and available to all. Yes, it does give encouragement to the so-called keyboard warriors who fire off opinions like firecrackers bursting out of a firework box. But used in the right and respectful way, it gives voices to many who would never have the opportunity to take part in such discussions. Finally, and importantly, radio has always been an important medium in ensuring that voices can be heard. Some time ago I alerted you to a brand new show starting on RNIB Connect Radio called The Daily Connect. Presented by Stephen Scott, who is on this group, it has, for the last couple of months, been broadcasting a wide range of discussions, debates, features and articles on issues relevant to visual impairment. Joe Fishwick and myself have been on there too. It is a fantastic opportunity to influence the discussions of the day. If there are subjects, topics and issues that you would like to hear and to discuss, then email the team at radio@rnib.org.uk. Yes, being able to speak or even write out does take confidence, but with the right encouragement and support, there are now so many opportunities to tell your real-life story, air an opinion, and or take part in a discussion.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.